Rooted in Revenue with your host today, Susan Finch.
Hey everybody, Susan Finch here, your co-host for Rooted in Revenue because Lainey Sullivan is back. Lainey and I started this show 4 years ago and then she just got really busy and distracted and doing other things and fine-tuning her business and has nailed it. She is ready to explode because she is causing so much success for her customers. So Lainey, welcome back. Yay!
I took a little hiatus. It's good to be back.
So tell me, you know, tell everybody really quick, catch them up. What is your business now and what is the goal of the business?
Yeah, so I do, I'm a fractional COO, so chief operations officer, for those that don't know. And basically I'm your operations specialist, your strategist, your, you know, management team. I have a team that we come in and we strategically look at your business from an operations perspective, and then we overhaul it. So we tear it apart, we put it back together, and we do 2-day dive-in intensives with our clients, and we look at all the things in their business, and we come out with a phased custom plan that we just implement. And it's been really fun to dial it in. I've been in project management and operations for 20 years. Right. And so I really just came back around to it and was, okay, this is really, as Gay Hendricks says in The Big Leap, is this is my zone of genius. And so this is, yeah, it's fun. It's magical. We're making massive impact. Our clients are growing exponentially, you know, quantum leaping. It's ridiculous and it's awesome.
Well, we're kicking off a new series that Lainey and I decided to do together. And the first episode in the series is going to be Your Revenue is Your Customer Journey. Yeah, you guys know it, but not really how she's saying it. And you need to pay attention to the details. So we hope you get a lot out of this episode. And then you can stay tuned for the next one, which will be when and why to do a business assessment.
So these are the conversations that I've been having with clients regarding when I go into their systems. And I just had another one with a HVAC company this last week. And their whole process, their whole customer journey process from marketing to reviews is broken. So they're not doing marketing because they're too busy, but right now they're on a slow time. They're marketing now, but they market now, they're going to go market for high season basically. So they didn't market, they're not marketing 12 months out of the year, right? So they're marketing when they're slow, but they're not marketing when they're busy for their slow times, right?
Yeah, I get that.
So then their sales guy is their marketing person too. So that's the other problem. But so they have no legit connection between marketing and sales, and there's no differentiation between them either. And then their process from sales to installation to service is broken enough that I'm actually a client, and I said, I didn't have the best client experience. They ruined my floor. And they took care of my floor. They totally took care of it, fixed it. Well, they had to replace it because the floor they ruined was no longer available. And so they had to put a new floor in. And nobody called me to be like, hey, we're sorry. How's it going? We want to fix it. I mean, my sales guy did because he's in my networking group, but you know, no real acknowledgement of the fact that yes, they were going to take care of it and they paid for it and all of that. But there was no, hey, we're going to make sure this is good. There was no follow-up after the fact. So to make sure that everything was fine. And so this whole process of sales, installation, service, and then the end part of collecting testimonials and reviews and feedback and referrals and all of that, they don't do any of that on the back end either. But they're not even following up to make sure. They could have one minor thing wrong and they would never know because the customer hasn't told them. It could just be a minor thing, not a ruined floor, right? So they're not communicating. They're not nurturing their current client base at all. They're not emailing them any kind of offers or updates or service information. Like, they're not doing anything, right? They're literally just selling the units, selling the service, and collecting the money, and then selling and collecting the money and selling. And so they're missing so much opportunity. They're leaving money on the table. And then their systems behind it are not even set up to, even if they wanted to try to do marketing or try to collect referrals or create some kind of, you know, collection entity, they don't even know how to do it. They wouldn't even know where to start. Your money is literally between your marketing and your referrals. Like, it's between those two things from beginning to end and everything in between. Like, it's the entire customer journey process. So Because I talk about the client, like the screening, the intake, the screening, and the onboarding all the time. And we talk about their marketing systems. We talk about when we set up their market, like the front end. I don't do marketing, right? I don't do, but the function, the technology behind it. How are they doing it? How are they tracking it? What's their SOP? What's that process? And then building out their entire process all the way through to the referrals. How are they doing getting referrals? How are they collecting it? How are they doing a nurture series? So we set up the back end of it too. So we set up literally the front end to the back end of it. But I just had this moment where I was, your funny is in your customer journey. Like how are you leaving this much money on the table? And Right. They're not the only ones doing it.
Oh no, especially smaller service businesses, smaller B2C, especially.
Yeah. And the key is they don't know. They don't know. They just don't know what they don't know.
They don't know, and they don't feel that they have the staff to do it, or they think it's too hard, or no, we follow. No, you don't.
No.
You don't. And I run into this all the time with retail service businesses, mm-hmm. where it is direct to consumer. To me, that's the most notorious segment. Yeah. More than B2B. Okay. Yeah. It's still there, especially in small to midsize.
Yeah.
But retail, business to consumer, mm-hmm. horrid.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether it's product or service.
Right.
From hair salons to dog walking to grocery stores, they're missing it.
Yeah. Yep. Completely. It's not difficult to set the things up, but you have to kind of reverse engineer the entire point and process, right? What are you actually wanting out of this? Okay. So if you want more leads, okay. So you need to set up your marketing on the front end. First of all, like have some kind of baseline marketing. And typically you need to hire somebody to do your marketing if you're not a marketing person, because I'm not a marketing person, but I have enough marketing background that I can bake my way through it.
Right.
But a lot of people don't, right? If you think about a business owner, how many of them actually know how to run a business?
Very few.
Very few. And it's not for their lack of, it's not their fault. It's the fact that we aren't taught when we get into business, how to run a business. Mm-hmm. We are self-employed employees of our own entity. And we've never been taught how to build a business, run a business. People don't know what an SOP is, a standard operating procedure. They look, eyes glaze over. What's that?
Well, so, an onboarding process is not only for clients, but for employees. All those pieces have mm-hmm. to be part of it. And it's not the fun part. I have to admit, I hate doing annual budgets.
Right.
I hate doing that stuff. Who's going to know if I don't do it? Well, it's going to show.
Mm-hmm.
I miss my mark and I will miss the leakage. I will miss what you're talking about. All those ready-made people that want to be happy again and want to be our champions. And if we don't nurture them and we don't carry them along, check in with them, make them feel more than a transaction.
Exactly.
And you have to set up those patterns. And that comes back to, something about that should always be decided right at the beginning. And you know this really well about vision, mission, mm-hmm. and values. And the values drive it all.
Yeah.
And everybody that comes onto your team needs to be on
alignment
and maybe even review it every year. You do your annual retreat with your whole team. And mm-hmm. there's a reason, even if they've been with you for a while, you still need to review those things to make sure nothing's shifted.
Yep, exactly. Oh, 100%. And it goes back to just basic business foundations, So build your foundation is the first thing. Like what are the things that you're doing in your business? And if you go back to, if you want clients, build your customer journey out and build a comprehensive, holistic customer journey for you and for your clients. What do you want them to experience? And that's, and that goes back to the alignment of your values and your vision and your goals and your mission and all of that. So if this is your mission, how is this structure in alignment with it? And if it's not, then you need to get it in alignment. Or if it's broken, you need to fix it. And it's not difficult to fix. It takes time and intention to fix. Intention and attention.
Yeah, people give up too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that didn't work. That's not doing anything. That didn't change. Well, it's been 40 days.
Right. Yeah. That's the other key too, right? People think, oh, okay, we're going to put this process in place and it's going to fix it instantaneously. No. We're giving you a framework to start with. It's a living, breathing entity in your business that you're going to adjust and tweak and micro. You're going to do all these micro adjustments until you get to a point where you're like, oh, this is it. But when you're working with either one of us, we're building a framework out. We're building that foundation that this is where we think you're going to need to go. But until you actually use it and in real life in your business,
oh my goodness, yes,
you're not going to know for sure like what we need to adjust until it's applied.
Right. You know, it reminds me kind of what, you know, Debbie Davis is talking about a few days ago with measuring and managing. And I give people tools all the time to be more successful in their, you know, with their episodes, with their podcasts, with their whatevers, if they do nothing with it. And they come back and say, that wasn't a success. That didn't work. What'd you do? Did you do your part? Did you do those pieces? Did you do the routine that we said, this has to be done weekly by somebody? Are they doing right. those things? And if they are, and it's not working, okay, then we reevaluate. But if you haven't done all that, who's that on? It doesn't do any good to just throw money at a solution, get the solution, and then not implement the right. work. You do have to do the work, or hire somebody to do the work so you can do the fun part. I know, like with podcast hosts, they like to record and that's it. Okay. Right. So give me that and I'll do all the rest.
Yeah.
But they have to know who from there, then who's going to take the rest of it afterward, who on their team will keep it going.
Well, and the other thing that I think is that's really relevant to this is business owners and CEOs go, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm like, great. That's awesome. Let's get you out of the weeds of that task, but you're still the guiding force of that project. So you can't just walk away. You can't just record the podcast and walk away. You've got to go, okay, here's the podcast. Where are we at in the process? Like, you still got to be a part of the process. You still got to be a part of the journey, because in the end, it's your business. It's your podcast. It's your life. It's your money. It's your vision. It's yours. Like, you have to own it regardless of whether or not you want to actually do the work. I can relate.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, I know you can.
I'm like, I don't need to do this, but it's so powerful to know, because the minute you walk away and go, I'm just going to give it to somebody, that's when it breaks. That's when it goes haywire and it goes misaligned because you checked out.
And that is different. Checking out is different than delegating.
Exactly.
And people confuse it all the time at their convenience.
Yep.
There is still, we still, as the leader, have that accountability.
Yep. Yeah. I have a company that I've been trying to, you know, get into and work with. And the owner and the CEO, amazing human, totally disconnected from the process and has a person in a CEO capacity that is not a COO, and it's so misaligned that the team is overworking. They keep hiring assistants. They just keep hiring administrative assistants to do more of the work. Well, that's not going to solve a problem either. So you can't be a disconnected CEO. You have to be connected. And you have to also know that just because your team is overwhelmed, they're probably not that overwhelmed. They're probably just inefficient. Because if you haven't laid out the processes and you don't have really clear SOPs, they're going to feel overwhelmed because shit is scattered all over the place because they've got things over here, they got things over there, they got things over there, and they're not using calendars properly. They're not using project management properly. They're not doing any kind of task management. They're not communicating properly. They're not overwhelmed. They're inefficient. So if you create some streamline and it creates some efficiency, you remove the overwhelm. And get your butt back in the business as a CEO and stop being a disconnected CEO.
I'm a scattered CEO. So that, I mean, that I'm great for my clients, but for my own stuff, like, oh, I'm going to do that in a different order this week because of whatever. And so other people are waiting for the pieces. And I know, but I had this thing I wanted to do first. I know, but we need, you know, Tuesday is the day we do this and Wednesday is the day we do this. And we can't do it until you give us that piece.
Yep. Well, this is the thing. Vision. If you're not a disconnected CEO, you're usually a visionary.
Yes.
Right. And then the visionaries are literally all over the board.
That's, and they're nice, like,
I'm going to create this today and I'm going to create that tomorrow. And I'm going to That's all Friday. And you kind of got to rein it in, and you got to really, that comes back to, like, you got to prioritize. Like, and it goes back to your vision, your values, your mission, your goals. Like, what are you actually trying to accomplish? I'm a visionary and I'm a strategist and an integrator, but thank God I don't have to integrate that much anymore because my team does it. So, but I'm really good at integrating when I need to. But right. So I get the visionary capacity of going, I'm going to create all of these things. I just came up with a new idea this last, like, I've been sitting on an idea for 2.5 weeks and I've been pushing it away because I don't need another project. I don't need another project, but it keeps coming up and I'm like, okay, I need to pay attention to this. So when you are a visionary and you have 1,000 ideas, what's in alignment with what you're trying to accomplish? If it's not in alignment with what you're trying to accomplish, it needs to go on the back burner until you're ready. We're not capable of doing everything. And then we do everything halfway. And then we go, I'm not interested anymore. And you just wasted how many hours and weeks and months of your life.
I'm trying to figure out the visual to liken that to. And to me, it's a pie.
Mm-hmm.
And the pie is full and it has the slices in there and all the things. You can't cram another piece of pie in the pie plate. It'll all dump out. Mm-hmm. Parts of it will ooze out and it won't look pretty and it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay with, you know, what is in that alignment. It's constantly checking back.
Exactly. By the way, you guys, Susan makes the best pies ever. Can I have a raspberry pie this summer, please? I mean, it's a rough pie.
I know, now we're all distracted with that.
I know, right?
Yeah, pecan, yeah, cranberry, or raspberry, what do you want? Depends on the season.
I know, right? But it's so true. You can't fit more in. And so no. You really got to sit down. And I have tabled so many ideas and so many projects personally. I start to look at when I'm forcing it and when I'm pushing it and I'm making it, I'm trying to fit that square peg into the round hole and it's not working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't the right time for this project. I really want to do this thing because I'm really excited about it and I can't get it to move forward for whatever reason, whatever that reason is. I'm like, okay. I've learned that that's my sign that I got to table it. Projects that are tabled, I'll get back to them eventually. But
I tabled one though so long, an idea that I had in 97 for a touch screen wall calendar.
And it's now it's out.
If there's somebody has a patent for it, but he won't build it.
Oh.
It costs too much to build it. But I had that idea in 97. I mailed the cheap way. You mail it to yourself just like, I had this idea on this day. Mm-hmm. But I did not have the wherewithal to take it further to get the patent and everything else. And I mean, I had it all described. I knew what I wanted. It was before touchscreens were even around, but I knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it just didn't exist.
Right.
And now it's so much simpler. And so then I went and looked it up. I thought, okay, it's time. So I look at it. Are you kidding me? Last year he took the patent on it. So sometimes you table it and then you have to let it go. And now I just hope that it gets made because I'd like to buy one.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes that's just the way it goes, but you've got to just come back to center when you're looking at your processes and your revenue, and you've got to look at the things that are taking away your time from building your revenue. And
continuing it to build. I mean, ideally people are saying nice things about us when we are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we wake up and there'll be leads in our inbox. The phone will be ringing with people. I heard, I know you're mm-hmm. great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting that, you are missing. Obviously you are just churning
mm-hmm.
your customer base.
Yeah.
Churn is expensive.
It's very expensive. Yeah. One of the things actually I'm actually implementing in my business, I came up with it the other day because I wanted to get feedback from my clients now after 1 to 3 years after we've worked together to see where they're sustaining, where they fall into the cracks, you know, what's working, what's not working. I mean, I stay in contact with my clients on a pretty regular basis, like just because we're all kind of connected and I have a lot of clients in my local community. So I see them. And so, you know, when they reach out, when they do need help, but I thought, it'd be really interesting to see, have them evaluate their business, you know, 1 to 3 years after going through and having, you know, an ops overhaul to see how are they sustaining? Where are they struggling? You know, how's it impacted their revenue? Are they still as efficient? Are they more efficient? You know, finding out those pieces of information, because that's part of your story. How are you impacting, how is your product or service impacting your client? Not just now in the moment, but future. Like, my whole shtick is sustainable processes, right? Long-term sustainability. So you don't have to go rebuild and overhaul your business every 2 to 5 years. You know, mine is, let's, you know, all you have to do is make micro changes and just keep shifting and pivoting as you go, because your business will shift and pivot.
The cool thing about what you just said, though, is with clients, when you do that, if you are asking them, they might surprise you with their answers. And it's something that, oh my gosh, you know who could use that? Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I share that idea with?
Right.
And all of a sudden, too, you as the holder of this information and feedback can provide more value, mm-hmm. generate a whole bunch more content and all these other things. But you, right. can, chances are, if we know our customers, we know them well enough to know, ah, they've had that hole. I know this would help them. Yes. And suddenly you're a hero. Mm-hmm. And then you go back and thank the one who gave you the idea.
Right.
And you're their hero.
Yep.
Because you told them how smart they are.
Yeah.
And their wisdom and everything else. And so they look good to their people.
Right.
And, yeah. I mean, there's so exactly. many ways that this, mm-hmm. this just works.
It completely works.
It can't fail when all you're constantly doing is being of service, taking care of, and championing your mm-hmm. people, your clients, yeah. your team.
Exactly. It's that nurture process, that nurture all the way through.
Yes.
Yeah. It's super powerful.
Yeah. Because when they are in the mode to renew a contract, mm-hmm. to think about it, to think of new things, you know, what do we know? The decision process is 1/12 of the year. And then the 11/12 is keeping them happy and thinking of you. Mm-hmm. Before it comes up. And if it's a 3-year cycle, same thing. Mm-hmm. You need to constantly have that value in conversation so they know that it is not transactional.
Right. 100%.
So, wow, Lainey, that was a lot of fun. It's been so long and this is great. I love bantering with you on our show.
Never miss an episode. Check out rootedinrevenue.com and subscribe on the site to get weekly updates of when new episodes come out. We'll get you all the information you need to do your best with marketing and your online presence.